All right. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's going to come forth this morning. We thank you for Pastor Chad and Gina. They're back with us this week, and we're just so thankful. God, we ask you to soften our hearts this morning, receive whatever you have for us. And Lord, we trust you with everything. We trust you with everything, Lord. And we ask you to bless everyone in this service in Jesus' name as we bring forth the word. Amen.
Well, good morning again. We won't forget to put that box out there for me, if you don't mind, Richie, with your secret recipe. The recipe will say a pinch of this, a pinch of that, right? And a handful of that, right? Isn't that a lot of passed down recipes are? I think so. So I heard Sally, who's not here today, Pat, Sally and Pat Bates, but I heard she did an awesome job last week. So, awesome. I'm glad that if I'm not here or whatever pastor's not here, that God has always somebody ready to deliver a word. You know why? Because there's hungry hearts here. When people are hungry for the truth of His word, they'll pull. You know, they pull that gifting, that anointing out. So once again, it's good to see everybody here. Amen. So we've been going back on King David, right? Been King David. I want to stop real quick and say, hey, I just want to mention something that's been very powerful. It's pre-service prayer, 9:15 to about 9:40. I'm telling you, it's been awesome. You know, prayers with a group of believers is powerful. And so even if there doesn't matter if there's been 3, 4, 5, 10 here, man, I'm telling you, when that's done, I'm like, wow, Lord, you've really ministered to me when you're with a group declaring His goodness and declaring His promises and exercising authority. And so getting back, the reason why, you know, some years ago, I felt like impressed in my heart, just the Lord wanted me to just read and study about King David. And so I did. It just blessed me. Some of the things, just if you read the word, you know, if you just read it. I invite you to just sometimes read the word of God just as a text. Just read it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And I think sometimes, depending on how you were raised, we can make it harder than it is. I did. I was one that I had to be in deep prayer and fasting for some revelation of the word. And I'm not saying that fasting and prayer and God doing it in your life, I'm not coming against that at all. But I'm saying that God wants to speak to us through His word every day. And so as I begin to just study and read King David's life, I just find it fascinating. What I find fascinating, of course, we know a lot about King David's weaknesses that we'll talk about. But as I just start reading the word of God as a text that is alive today, realizing all these individuals in the Old Testament, as Paul says, hey, I write these things these things were written as an example for you and I. And then examples of not only great victories, but God's faithfulness and their weaknesses. And King David, we'll see in the future, boy, what a powerful, mighty man of God, a king, a prophet, wrote 2/3 of the Psalms, right? But yet, even in his great weaknesses, still, Jesus, Son of David. So part one, we talked about Saul. Remember Saul being the first king, and we talked about why was Saul king? Well, when it came down to it, Saul was the type of king that the people wanted to look like the countries around them. His height, his stature, his looks, maybe his mannerism. They said that, yes, perfect. And so God, in His goodness and kindness, knew what it was going to take for the next king, David, to be successful. Because he didn't look like the other countries around him. He didn't look like them, but they had to go through the kingship of a Saul to accept what God had for them in King David. And then in part two, which was powerful in talking about David's defeat of Goliath, amen? And how the armies of Saul were gathered, and they were frightened already. The battle had already been determined because of their fright of Goliath, looking at Goliath, focused on Goliath, not focused on what God had done for them in the past. How many Goliaths had God taken down for Israel in the past? From the time they came out of Egypt and parted the Red Seas and all the peoples they had defeated, and then they come to a place where they're against Goliath and the Philistines, and they had forgotten all of those things. It was because of the type of leadership that they had in Saul. They had that same heart of flesh, that it would be determined by the odds about how it looked like in the natural. And then David, who showed up and in the supernatural slayed the giant. I'm telling you, whatever God's going to do in your lives or my lives or in this nation is going to be in the supernatural, and it's going to be against the odds. If you're looking for something as far as in this country that looks like that's an avenue, it's probably not. If you're saying it's got to be done this way, I'm telling you, it probably won't be done that way. God will surprise his people even as he determines how he brings victory. It'll be because God's going to say, I will get the glory, not man. I'll do something only God can do. Amen. You love him this morning? Hallelujah. I forgot to mention, and I'm going to mention it right now because I was excited. These are good, godly commercials. You guys have heard of Franklin Graham? He's going to be in Flagstaff on September 30th. Yeah, on September 30th, he's going to do what I guess you would call it a crusade. After church, we'll have some of these if you want to get one. He's going to have crusades in different key cities in September. I'm excited. We prayed for him this morning. You know, he's one that's been a voice, head and shoulders in the church, saying, standing up against ungodliness. He has. He has... Huh? Well, I know he's stood up against a major thing, so I know that he's going to be here to preach the gospel September 30th, and that I'm praying for. Amen. By the way, I do, as far as to the hospital, I want to say this, and I just hit it right there, people. I know the hospital nurses are standing up, and doctors, right, against who don't want to be vaxxed. I want to say that I stand with them. I really do, as an American. But I want to say this, that I've known a lot of people that have been vaxxed, and I'm standing for God's favor on their lives of health. If you want to make this about separating those who vaxxed or not vaxxed, we'll get split in the church, and it will not bring what God wants to do. I'm just saying that. It won't. Am I vaxxed? No. Am I going to get vaxxed? No. Do I know a lot of people that have? Yeah. I don't, the things that have happened, and has it gone through, you know, the test and the trials and different things. No, I just said for me, no thank you. But I'm not going to separate myself from people that have. I'm going to tell you as a church, I won't do that. That's not what Christ would do. So I will not do that. I'll pray for those. There are no side effects at all. I've got relatives who live in Europe that have been vaxxed a year and a half or two ago that are fine right now. But not me. That's just where I stand. Let me say this. Let's not let a thing church be split based upon vax or not vax, or based upon if this church needs to be closed or not closed when there's any type of pandemic. We will not close. I can't do that. The body of Christ can't do that. If you're sick, I'll come to your house and pray for you. I have no problem for that. I say, if you're sick, I'll come to your house if you ask me to and pray for you. I'll pray over the phone with you. Whatever you want me to do, whatever the situation is in your life, I will pray for you. I will love you as a pastor should. I will encourage you. And today in King David, what I want to talk about is encouragement in the Lord. You know, I was reading this morning, all the news is bad. If you read, I was just as an example. I have different websites I'll go to that agree with what I think is going on as far as truth. But even then, the news is always bad, 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 bad. I have certain economic or financial websites, but it's always bad, 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 bad. And then down below, maybe a few good ones. I think of John Harris, who said his brother was in the Middle East and Fox wanted to interview him. And he wasn't willing to give the bad news, so they didn't interview him. They just wanted to hear bad news, right? He says, I'll do it if I can give you the good news. And they said, no, thank you. Is that true, John? So bad news and fear propagated by the god of this world God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. So even at the things that I believe in, if I'm not careful, I start reading those things and I become discouraged and or angry. That's what I'm going to talk about today. What I wanted to mention today is of Afghanistan. We prayed this morning for our dear brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Here's a thing where you take an army of 300,000 people, Afghanistanians, give them American technology, and the Americans leave and they fold because it comes down to this: they have no belief system that they could win. How they were raised, the religion that they were that they're raised in, they were defeated before the battle ever began. You surrender when you think the battle's already lost. Doesn't matter who trained you, the technology, it was the belief system in their hearts that they were raised with that said, it can't happen. We're not vigilant enough. We're not strong in our faith, or faith of Islam, like the other side. We don't really know what we believe. And so they folded. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for our brothers and sisters, Christians in Afghanistan. I pray, Father, for your divine protection and health in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would protect them. Lord, you will protect them. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon them. Lord, I thank you for doing a miracle. Lord, we pray for a miracle of your spirit moving in Afghanistan. When it seems hopeless, Lord, we know that you can do awesome things. We thank you for people giving up on false religions and being blinded by false religion and their hearts being open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for people by the mass in the Middle East coming to know you, Father. And particularly this morning, we pray for Afghanistan, Father God. Lord, touching, protecting those there that know you, Father God. The few soldiers that are there right now as they get ready to leave, protect them, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, do something there in that country, Lord. Thank you for protecting your people. Lord, we don't forget our brothers and sisters. As Peter says, remember those who are in prison. Remember those that are at where they're at because of their faith in me. Don't forget them. And this morning, Father, we don't forget them as we lift them up in prayer. We say thank you, Lord, for touching and protecting your people in the Middle East in a circumstance, in a situation that only you, Father God, can solve. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? If you want one of these little things about the Franklin Graham Crusade that's going to be in Flagstaff September 30th, please come and get one of these after service. It's going to start in Samuel 18, part 3. We're going to talk about encouragement today. We're going to talk about if David, King David, if he hadn't been imparted, if he hadn't had somebody come alongside him to give encouragement, I don't think he would have made it through what was going to come his way. Now it came about in Samuel 18, verses 1. Now when it came about, when he had finished speaking to Saul, this is after he had just defeated Goliath, speaking to Saul that Jonathan committed himself to David. Who was Jonathan? Jonathan was the son of Saul. He was the heir of the throne. When his dad, Saul, was to die, he was going to be king of all of Israel. Can you imagine that? His heart could have said, this kingdom shall be mine. I was appointed by God to lead the people of Israel. But what does it say? Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that Jonathan committed himself to David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his military gear, including his sword, his bow, and his belt. Could you imagine that situation? You know, God had called David out of his circumstances of where he was after Goliath, and he brought him into the realm of encouragement. We're going to talk about that. You're going to say, well, Chad, what do you mean by encouragement? He just defeated Goliath. And David had testified to how he destroyed the bear and the lion. But see, God knows what was coming that his way. God knows what the enemy was going to try to do in sidestepping or discouraging David for what God had for him. So God is always a step ahead of the enemy. He's not a step behind. Sometimes it may seem like that, or we can think it that, but I'm telling you, God is actually always a step ahead of the enemy. And the question is, are we going to be a receiving of that, of what God is doing a step ahead? Or understanding what God's doing a step ahead? David had to understand that. See, David was in circumstances where I don't think encouragement was part of his family culture, matter of fact. David was not invited to the family dinner with Samuel. You remember that? The craziness of the most important man of all of Israel, Samuel, the prophet, a great prophet. And he invites Jesse to his to dinner and to a sacrifice. And he said, and Samuel said, bring all your family, your children. Bring them all. And that's where God was going to anoint David to be the future king of Israel. And so when they get there, just going back and just a reminder that Samuel started to pray over each one of his sons. And God said, nope, not him, not him, not him, not him. Until finally Samuel said, was this all the all your children, all your family? He says, yeah, I have my youngest, but he's tending the sheep. He says, we won't sit down to eat until you bring him here. And instantly, when he came in, God said, arise and anoint him. And it said the Spirit of God came rushing upon David. The one that was forgotten. The one that didn't mean much for the family for some reason, we don't know. Maybe he was a dreamer. Maybe the way he talked. Maybe his confidence in God. I'm telling you, confidence in God will make the religious shun it. Who do you think you are? You're crazy. You're believing for healing. You believe in God supplying all your needs according to his riches and glory. You're crazy. You're worshiping and dancing in the Spirit. We can only do that at a football game, but never at church. Just a reminder, 1 Samuel 17:28, this is what his older brother thought of him. His oldest brother, which would be the one that would be the heir to Jesse's family, he would get twice the inheritance. He had the voice in the family after his dad, Jesse, would pass away. He would now become the leader of the family. In 1 Samuel 17:28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, David, heard him when he spoke to the men. He was talking about, who's this Goliath? King David was. And Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, why is it that you have come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I myself know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. So he just bashed him. I know your heart, David. I know you're just a boaster. I know all this stuff that you're talking about God, and why is he defying the gods of Israel. I know you're trying to make this about yourself. People that will always judge, that will say they know your heart. People that want to determine or put you down because they tend to know what you think more than you think yourself. Don't listen to those types of voices. Those are the type of voices that kill dreams and visions. When people are declaring what they want God to do in their lives, and they start to declare it, and there's always a naysayer that says, "What are you crazy? You don't have what it takes. Or you need to get your feet back on the ground. Just get your nose to the plow." No dreaming. You could see his brother was trying to see what his surrounding was. So what did God do? God knows what we need. God sent him, David, a Jonathan. He sent him somebody who cared for David as much as he cared for himself. You know, in the body of Christ, we need that more than ever. As we continue, we need people with a heart of Jonathan. That's why when you read these scriptures through the New Testament, like in 1 Peter 4, it says, love each other deeply, because that covers a multitude of sins. Loving each other deeply means I'm not stuck or tripped up over your weaknesses. I love you deeply. He says, I want to see you succeed every bit as much as I myself would succeed. That's what makes a body. That's why it's so important to be a part of a body. People that have your back. People that love you through struggles and trials. People that are believing what you believe to see God come about and do miracles in your life that are joined and linked with you saying, you can do it. We're believing for your healing. We're believing for your prosperity. We're believing for your health. We're believing for God to lead and guide you as I'm believing Him for myself. You see, so God sent Jonathan his way. We had read where when he saw David, Jonathan 18, those first few verses, Jonathan stripped himself of his robe. He was a great support to David, so his robe, it means that it was his, really it was his kingship, what he was going to be. And Jonathan, after he saw that, realized what God had for David, even it was going to be at his own demise. It was like, what would happen to him? He didn't have that heart. His heart, by the Spirit of God, was knitted to David. He took off his robe, gave it to David, and said, I see your worth, that you're going to be, as it was prophesied to you by Samuel, you're going to be the king of Israel. I see that, and I'm affirming that. Here's my robe. Affirming him to be king. As we go through the weeks, we'll see that giving him of his robe was going to be of great value to David. He would need to come back to that moment time and time again. Hallelujah. He gave him his robe. Remember Revelations 1:6, it says, and hath made us, talking about us, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You and I are kings and priests. By the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Lord has given us a robe of kingship. Did you know that? A robe of righteousness. Washed in his blood, God has placed authority upon our lives, given us a robe. Do you sense that robe that you wear in the Spirit this morning? The things that we see in the natural, the things that we see in the Old Testament, God is speaking to us as supernatural for today. Please don't look at this and in your heart and mind just scoff at this. Please in your heart say, Lord, I want everything, regardless of what happened yesterday, last year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. God, I want everything that you have for me. As the king, the heir apparent takes his kingship robe off and gives it to David. Amen. What else did he do too? He gave him his sword. He gave him his war equipment, his battle equipment. He gave that to him as well. Not only his robe, but he gave his equipment. David had not learned how to use a sword. Hadn't learned any of that yet. But Jonathan knew that God was going to teach him. So with the anointing and power of God, Jonathan equipped David. You know, today my hope is as I speak to you, that God is equipping you. I said, I pray to God today that God is equipping you by his anointing, by his power, by his revelation, by the understanding of the word. As this Jonathan who loved David as himself gave him his robe of authority and gave him his spear and his belt and everything and said, you're going to be the leading Israel in battle. As he declared basically in a prophetic word from the Lord saying, you're going to be king and you're going to lead in battle. So he goes from somebody who kills a giant with a slingshot to leading Israel into battle with a sword. Supernaturally, God began to teach David how to use that sword. How do we know? Because as we read on, he killed thousands of the Lord's enemies. And he trained others to kill thousands of the Lord's enemies with a sword. All started by taking, as his brother said, taking care of those few sheep. See, you can't despise small beginnings. I said, you can't despise small beginnings. Thank you, Father. Verse 5 of that chapter says, and David went into battle wherever Saul sent him, because he came into the, as we read, he came into the house of Saul. And David went into battle wherever Saul sent him and always achieved success. So Saul put him in charge of the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. You know, even as we see with the struggles of David, understand this, even in struggles, even when the enemy's coming against you, you're battling your own self, know this, that God, you're successful in the Lord. He wants you successful in Him, carrying His peace, carrying His confidence, carrying His strength, knowing He's taking care of you and not focusing on what might be going on around you. David, it says here that even when we talk about David's struggles or when the enemy comes against him, it says he was successful in all that he did. We know that, we see that David had great victory over Goliath. Jonathan's son became his most loyal friend. And then what happened then is David entered into a season he would not have imagined. You know, maybe in the church today, we're in a season that we would never have imagined. Could I say that's true? That we're having to pull together, that we're having to say out loud, Lord, what is it that we really believe? Lord, what is it that we're standing on? Lord, what is it that we're believing you're going to do in the church or what you're going to do in America? We've entered into a different season. But I want to tell you that even when David was in that season, the Word of God says that David was successful in all that he put his hand to. So remind you that as we might be working through some things, seeking the Lord, seeing things that might be bad news, and then one day good news, just know this, that you as a believer in Christ, He is with you and you are successful in Him. If you think about Psalms 1, it says, His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord wants us to be successful. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Are you reading that the same way I am? The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. The wicked will come, and they'll be here on the earth for a while, and then they disappear. Their names never to be remembered, amen? But you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever with God's provision and protection and leading us while we're here on the earth, even when the enemy tries to press against our soul. So it starts this and that. Still, we're in the same chapter in verse 6. Things seem to be going very well for David. Remember, he's been anointed king. Remember, he's took down Goliath. He's sure that his kingship is affirmed through Jonathan. And then starting in verse 6, it says, "Now it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with other musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry, verse 8, for this lyric displeased him, and he said, "They have given David credit for 10,000s, but to me they have given credit for only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David with suspicion from that day on. So you see the difference of Jonathan, his love for David, His willingness with his heart to see others succeed. Do you have that type of heart in your body, in your family, to see others succeed? Lord, I pray that we wouldn't have malice. You know, malice is that thing where other people succeed, and there's a trip up, or they fail, we kind of makes us feel good for some reason. Seeing other people's failures, we feel good inside. Where Saul was the opposite. We had his son Jonathan, who had the best of David in his mind, and Saul, who wanted to see, at this point, his demise. Instead of saying, "David, way to go. I put you at the head of the armies of Israel to do this, to bring victory to Israel. Thank you for your faithfulness to your God and to Israel." No, he started saying, "Hey, they're giving more attention to David. What about me?" Didn't think that he was already king, that God had brought him from nothing and raised him up as king in Israel. All he could think about is the praise that was given to David. And so that began to consume him. And as we'll read, allowed an evil spirit to control his life. because of jealousy. You see, from that point on, David, the enemy through Saul, devised a plan to take down David. From this point, there was a plan. And he's going to need that encouragement that he received from Jonathan at the beginning, saying, I know who you are. I know what God has for you. That encouragement that would probably would take him through many months or years of battles where God still made him successful, but he had to trust God that God was still leading and guiding his life. David enters a season that he would never imagine. You know, from that point on, the enemy devised that plan I mentioned to take down David. Verse 10. And that came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul. Remember, this is what happened. David would, an evil spirit would torment Saul. And David would come in, take his sword off, take his army belt off, and start playing the harp, the lyre. Today it could be a guitar. It could be whatever. And he would soothe, that anointing on David would soothe and drive that evil spirit away from Saul. But on this day, it became different as the heat was turned up upon David, actually. Now it came about the next day that an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand, as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Then Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. You know, in the King James, it doesn't say rave, it says prophesy. So as he's playing this harp, he's raving, he's saying things. I could imagine he's saying, David, you'll never make it. David, you're going to die in battle. David, there's no way God can restore your family. David, you'll never be healed. As the enemy began to prophesy and declare through Saul lies of the enemy. I can say today is I have to be careful what I listen to, a news or whatever, even though it could be something that I agree with, but if I read it in the natural, I still start thinking, how's this going to happen? How is God going to have a victory in this nation? Or I can start thinking, how's God going to have victory in certain areas of my family or whatever, because I can't see it because of what's being spoken to me. So not only was Saul raving, lunatic, it says in the King James he began to prophesy. Well, he began to declare things that were lies of the enemy. And who was his fury directed at? David. So he's ranting and raving, declaring lies to David. The enemy saying, not going to do it, not going to make it. I don't care what Jonathan told you. I don't care what was said. I don't care what victories you had. You haven't seen anything yet, David. You haven't seen the battles you're going to come up against now. You're not going to make it. As the enemy began to rant and rave at David. Finally, Saul, in his demonic rage, hurls a spear at him, trying to pin into the wall and kill him. David went from a point where he entered into a time in his life where he was going to have to trust God totally. God was going to be his victory. God was going to have to be the one to lead and guide him. God was going to have to be one to show him. And I'm telling you, it started with the encouragement. If there's anything we're going to have to need during this time in the church, is we're going to have to walk in encouragement. We're going to have to walk in his strength. We're going to have to walk in his ability. We're going to have to walk in, and I can do all things through Christ, which leads me, guides me, directs me, is with me, protecting me. We're going to have to do that in the church in this day and age. The world won't be attracted by something that's weak, that's willing to fold. The church, the people of the world won't be attracted to anything that they don't know really what they believe in. Well, yeah, he might want to heal you. He might want to take care of you. He made this, he made that. We're not sure. God, people need to see that in our God, that we definitely have confidence and encouragement in him. And with that encouragement, we can encourage other people. Thank you for bringing encouragement to the house of the Lord this day and this hour, Father God. Thank you for raising up Jonathans in the house of the Lord who want to see the success of others and not just themselves. Others that are willing to yield to one another. Sally talked about, Jonathan, yielded to David. Said, here, have my robe. Have my authority. Have my sword. I see what God's going to do in your life. All he said is, David, when you come into your kingship, don't forget me, brother. I love you as I love myself. I know what God's going to do in your life. Do you know what he's doing in your life in this day, in this hour? Do you have that encouragement? Are you bringing in or hearing things that bring encouragement? Are you listening to and allowing the Spirit of God to encourage you in this day, in this hour? What do you spend your time focused on? What are you allowing into your mind, your ears, your eyes? It's not because we're trying to, oh, Lord, I can't do this or do that. What we're trying to strategically do is saying, Lord, I only want things of encouragement in this day, in this hour of darkness to come into my ears, my eyes. Lord, we thank you for encouragers in the house of God today. Lord, if there's anything as we continue through this, is we need your encouragement through the body of Christ. See, the Lord, David, we'll see later on, he encouraged himself in the Lord. But it started out with Jonathan. Encouragement. Nobody can do it on their own, brothers and sisters. None of us can do it on our own. We need one another. We need to encourage and care about the needs of one another. The success of the church is not based upon how good I am up here. The success of the church is how we encourage one another out here. Amen. Amen. It said David escaped from his presence twice. You know, David, when we read some of the Psalms, you know, David's Psalms were his, it wasn't just something that he woke up and said, I'm going to write a book. It was basically looking at David's diary as he wrote down prayers and declarations. We get an idea. There are specific Psalms that we know that are specific to certain circumstances in David's life that he declared this, prayed this, spoke this, sung this. Some of these, he sung those things. He sang those things, excuse me. Sang and sung. You know what I mean, right? Psalms 5, 6 through 9. This is during the time when David was being pursued by, as he began to be pursued by Saul. It says, you destroy those who speak lies. This is David speaking to the Lord. It says, you destroy those who speak lies. The Lord loathes the person of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, he says, by your abundant graciousness, I will enter your house and at your holy temple, and I will bow in reverence to you, Lord. I'm putting my trust in you. Verse 8, Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies, because of Saul. Make your way straight before me. Verse 9, for there is nothing trustworthy in their mouth. Their inward parts is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongues. This he started saying, Lord, protect me from this. Lead me through this as I go through this thing in my life. Lord, thank you for bringing me out to the other side. Thank you that the calling and the gifts and the buildings in my life are coming forth regardless of what the enemy puts in my way. Regardless of your age, God has a purpose in your heart. Regardless of where you've been, God has a purpose. He has a purpose that it be his desires for you become your desires. He gives you the desires of your heart, but he's the one that will place those desires as we yield to him. I love that God does that. My desires of what I had 20 years aren't nothing what they are today. My desires of 10 years ago are nothing of what they are today as God has continued to change my heart. And I start saying, thank you, Lord, for purpose. Thank you, Father, for a house full of Jonathans that want to see the success of others. That they want to see the success of those that have been broken and downcast, that God builds them up and glorifies himself through them, whatever that might be. It could be through your family, your children, your grandchildren, nephews and nieces, your sphere of influence. We all have a sphere of influence. I think of Billy Graham, amen, who was saved through a Billy Sunday crusade. That one person, he saw, there was thousands of people, but the influence we have, we could have the influence on a future Billy Graham. Or the person you think, well, I don't have an impact on anybody, but one person that you impact could impact thousands or millions. And that impact that person has is your impact. That is you. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise where you're at or not being where you think you should be at. But simply trust Him. Father, we thank You for the spirit of encouragement in Your house in this day and this hour. Father, we need it like never before. To pull some people out of miry clay, as David said in Psalms 40, he says, You brought me out of the miry clay and You put my feet upon a rock, which is Jesus Christ. My sins are more numerous than the hairs of my head, but yet You've forgiven me. Lord, You weren't looking for sacrifice. You weren't looking for me to follow the law. You were looking for me to trust You. And David saw that. Hallelujah. Amen. As David in Psalms 5 declaring to the Lord, Father, thank You for watching over me. As he entered into a time where Saul, the king of Israel, desired, his main focus was, David, I want to kill you. He went from a guy who should have been applauding David to, you better not get in my way. Man, you believe that? Thank You for Jonathan's. But good thing, you know, one thing I've come to realize too is we'll read here and as we continue in verse 12. Are you still with me? Are you hanging in there? Thank You, Lord. Verse 12 says, Now Saul was afraid of David. Did you know the enemy's afraid of you? When the enemy rages against you, it's because he's afraid of you. He's afraid of what you might do to his kingdom, to his precious little kingdom that's going to come to an end. That's coming to an end. His kingdom is only on this earth as a little g god of this world, but it definitely has an expiration date. Hallelujah. Believers of God, you and I, we don't have an expiration date. We're going to live with Him forever. Hallelujah. To ever to be with the Lord. Now Saul was afraid of David, verse 12, because the Lord was with him but had left Saul. God does not live in religion. God does not live in a form of godliness. He lives with those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And today, what we're talking about today, where we live in the age of grace, He's with those who follow Him and trust Him by grace. Religion, He does not dwell in religion. As we'll see as we go on, Saul had areas that he was still in religious. He still outlawed those who were into witchcraft. He outlawed many things that were religious, but he was against God's anointed. He was against the move of God. Religion, he was fine with, but a spirit and a moving of God, He couldn't stand. He was actually operating in the enemy. Now Saul, verse 12 again. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him but had left Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of a thousand. So he took him from the commander of the army of Israel and said, I'm going to make you the head of a thousand. I'm giving you a demotion. You're doing so good, David. David, you're doing so good now. You are head of 200,000 soldiers. Now we're going to make you in charge of 1,000. So Saul removed him, and he went out and came in from the people. David was successful in all his ways, so the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was very successful, he was afraid of him. You know what I love about, as we move through this, is David, even though he was demoted to 1,000, he kept doing what he was doing. He didn't give up or get discouraged or give in. He didn't say, man, Lord, I thought You were with me. I thought You were leading and guiding me. I was the head of this corporation. Lord, I had this good job. Lord, I had my health completely, and now I feel like I've been demoted and I'm over 1,000. What happened? It said that David kept his faith. He kept that encouragement that Jonathan had gave him, and he kept plodding along. And even in those just 1,000, he continued to be successful. He could have looked at it and said, I used to be much more successful. What happened? No, he's kept doing what he knew God had before him. He was successful with 1,000 men. He was successful with 200,000 men under him. But God says that everything he did, he was successful. Brothers and sisters, we can't look at where we're at today or what's going on in our lives as whether we're successful or not. Here's what we do. Say, Lord, where I'm at now, I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to be faithful, and I am successful right now. Because when You promote me or when things change in my life, and when I come up against bigger challenges, I'm already rooted and grounded. I was rooted and grounded when I was fighting the enemy where nobody could see. I was rooted and grounded when I took down Goliath. I was rooted and grounded when I was ahead of 200,000 soldiers, and now I'm rooted and grounded when I'm now only over 1,000 soldiers. David kept doing what he was doing, and the enemy was still just as fearful. The enemy was just as fearful of David as when he was over 1,000 as when he was over 200,000. Don't think that because of where you're at that the enemy is not fearful of you. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and you love Him and His Spirit dwells in you, the enemy is afraid of you because of the power that you have in you. And now the job is, Lord, show me and teach me what authority I have in you. See, the enemy is not afraid of anybody that doesn't have any authority or doesn't exercise authority, who doesn't understand their authority. David understood his authority in God. And it didn't matter if he was ahead of 1,000 or 200,000. He was successful. Do you love him today? Amen. The battle of David's life was on now. Verse 28, when Saul saw and realized that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Now he had a daughter that loved Saul. David, I mean. Saul's daughter, Michal, loved Saul. Loved him. Then Saul was even more afraid of David. Michal, the daughter of Saul, loved David. Did I get it right then? I tried to. Couldn't do it. Then Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually. Even as he tried to crush David, even as he tried to discourage David, because David didn't give up, the enemy, Saul, was more afraid of him than ever. Even when it appeared like David was going backwards, he was not. I said, even when it appeared like David was going backward, he was not. He continued to trust the Lord. Regardless of where you're at today, brothers and sisters, if you put your trust in Him, dare to put your trust in Him, regardless of the circumstances, don't allow the enemy to tell you that you're going backward and there's no way to turn it around. That's a lie of the enemy. If you've got struggles, repent. Say, Lord, help me. Forgive me my sins and help me. Lord, encourage me. I want to get back exactly where I need to be. He's never left you nor forsaken you, by the way, if you know Him. Believe that this morning. He will never leave you nor forsake you. David had to believe that in his struggles. As we go on and see King David's life and things that would happen, he had to believe that constantly, that the Lord had not forsaken him. And the Lord has not forsaken you, regardless of your situation right now. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, you remember Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of whose might? Of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against what? Saul's. It's not against Saul's. Our struggle is against flesh. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness and heavenly places. Let me say this, that what David was fighting, it was not fighting against flesh and blood. He was fighting against Satan. He was fighting against the enemy. Our enemy is not against the people. It's against the dark forces. Amen? As we see that it said that a demon was working through Saul to kill David. Father, we thank you that every assignment against your people in here is broken in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you reveal those assignments and we see them as they really are, the enemy. Father, we thank you that we are not discouraged when we look at flesh and blood, but we look at the enemy behind those things and we say, I will not be discouraged, for I see my battle belongs to the Lord. I am strong in His might and His power. Hallelujah. Do you love Him this morning? Amen. Spiritual forces and wickedness in heavenly places. It said, finally be strong, be courageous, encouraged. You know, there's many examples, and we'll finish up here, of those who encouraged in the Bible. You guys heard of Barnabas? Paul was encouraged by Barnabas. Matter of fact, it says in Acts 4:36, Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translates means son of encouragement. The gift that Barnabas has was encouragement. He was such an encourager that they said, we're changing your name. We're changing your name, bucko. From now on, your name is Barnabas because of your heart of encouragement. You know, we know about the call of Paul on the road to Damascus. And he had that conversion. And then he started preaching, and they had to let him down over the wall, and he had to escape because they wanted to kill him right away. Then he goes into the desert, Arabian desert, and then he goes to Tarsus, where he was from, and he becomes a tent maker. And so he's being a tent maker. This goes on for like 12 to 14 years after his calling. After the experience, tent maker, God revealing himself to him. God revealing himself to him. And did he all of a sudden have an epiphany? I said, I need to go to Jerusalem and start my ministry. No, it says that Barnabas went down and said, hey, Paul, it's time, buddy. I know you've gotten comfortable making tents. I know you've got comfortable down here in the desert. I know you've gotten comfortable in your hometown, but it's time to go. Come, let's go. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's see what God has for you. So God using Barnabas to come down and get Paul. Barnabas was a great encourager in the church. You know, the church had, that church during that time of Acts 20, even though the enemy was coming against them, entered into a time of great encouragement. This is what I say. I believe the church is coming into a time of great encouragement. God is raising up encouragers. God is raising up encouragers. God is raising up people that are encouragers. Don't underestimate the ability to encourage people. And don't be so proud. David could have been proud and said, I killed Goliath. I don't need your coat. I don't need your spear. Did you see? I killed that big Goliath that nobody else would face with a slingshot. But David was humble enough to take his coat. David was humble enough to take his armor. See, we got to be a good receiver. Lord, let us be those who will be vulnerable and can receive encouragement. To be encouragement, yes, through love, because of his love. He received his love. Amen, he did. He received that love, and it says their hearts were knit together. You know, I've heard people say, believe it or not, saying, well, those guys might have been homosexuals. You ever heard that, where people say that? That's a lie, by the way. If you've heard that, or if you're wondering that, no. They weren't homosexuals. Their heart was knit as one. David had, I don't know how many wives. It was an abomination in the law for them to operate in homosexuality. You were to be stoned at that time. Under the law, that's what sin produced. Don't let the enemy speak things that start lodging little lies in our hearts. He was a man of God. He wasn't perfect. He got in some trouble. But don't take that relationship so that lies of the enemy trying to make certain things that are abomination to God be okay in his church. God doesn't make sin okay. He delivers us from sin. And he gives us love for one another as we grow, as he brings us out of those things. Amen? But it's not an attitude of it's okay. It's an attitude of God can set you free. He loves you. He brings us out of those things that bring defeat in our lives. He brings us out of those things that bring depression in our life. He brings us out of those things that keep us under what God has for us, smashed down by the enemy. And he lifts us up out of those things. See, God doesn't, he came to our level by the Holy Spirit living in us. But our thinking, he doesn't come down to our level and thinking. No, he brings us up to his level in thinking. He brings us up to his level. Hallelujah. A few more minutes. Acts 20, 1 and 2 talks about Paul's encouragement. After the uproar had ceased, there was an uproar in Ephesians where Paul had to leave. Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had encouraged them and taken his leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. What did he do? It says he encouraged them. Verse 2, when he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, amen, much encouragement, he came to Greece. So Paul, he would go around visiting the churches he established. What did he do? He said, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to give you a spirit of encouragement. I'm here to tell you that God is with you regardless of what's going on. He began to encourage the church. You know, my main job as a pastor, besides presenting the gospel of grace through faith, is to encourage you. This church's foundation is upon encouragement. If there's anybody I've ever met who had the spirit and a gift of encouragement, it was Pastor Lee. And if you knew Pastor Lee, he did. His encouragement was like dynamite in this church. The foundation of this church is encouragement for those who are downtrodden. Those who came here like myself that were downtrodden. And God, lift us up, amen? A spirit of encouragement. Let this church always be a church of encouragement, encouraging one another. It excited and celebrating each other's victories, accomplishments, things that God are doing in their lives. Let us celebrate the people, God's people, as he begins to do that. As people that are broken come into a church and you see God begin to build them up and heal them, let's celebrate as God begins to exalt them. Amen? In God's timing. The strength of the body of Christ is going to be determined by its understanding and ability to encourage. You know, the gospel in some states is already considered hate speech. Listening to a pastor in New York City where it's getting more and more difficult as governments and people come against them. Not just governments, but you know, but corporations. And peoples are considering the gospel hate speech because there's no sin. In the ungodly, there's no right or wrong. So when you start talking that way, it's considered hate speech. People like that in churches, Lord, we thank you for your encouragement. They could stand up for truth. And God will bring those out to those that need encouragement. God will bring those out who say, yes, I need a Savior. Yes, I'm in darkness. I need help. God will bring those people in. Amen. Encouragement each other that we become overcomers. John 16:33, Jesus said this. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation, but take what? Courage. I have overcome the world. So Jesus encouraging the disciples. Amen. First, so God, while you're on this world, be encouraged that God is our victory. And here's a big piece of our encouragement and our victory as we go to 1 Thessalonians 4:6 through 18. And the New Living Translation says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the grave. Hallelujah. Then 17, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah! Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other, it says, with these words. Remember, we encourage each other as God gives us victory, as the enemy tries to press against us, that we don't give up, that we're Jonathans to encourage one another, and then knowing someday we're going to be with him forever. The battle belongs to the Lord. We will reign with him forever. The enemy will be in that lake of fire forever, but you and I will reign with him in truth forever. No more struggle with sickness or sorrow. No struggle with death. Nothing but his peace and joy. That's our future. How long will we live on the earth? Might you live 100 years? It's a blip. You live 110 years? It's a blip. One day we will be worth it all. We will see his face. And it says that we're to encourage one another with this information when we're downtrodden, as we're encouraging each other and saying, we've got the victory here. It's going to be worth it. We're going to see him. He's going to say, well done, thou faithful servant. Come on into everlasting life. As we bring others, say, come on into the kingdom. Come on into the kingdom. But it only happened through encouragement. As the worship team comes up. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? You know, as I was thinking about this and praying about it, I had been putting this together, but I didn't know how this was going to come together until Saturday. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, encouragement. The body of Christ being encouragers. Being encouraged by the Word of God, amen? be encouraged. That's what God wants from you. If there's anything in you that would think other this morning than God wanting to encourage you, please reconsider what you believe. Because Paul went around encouraging the churches. Even after, be willing to be humble and receive his encouragement, brothers and sisters. You know, I think about struggles that can happen in marriage. I've been married a long time. Glad to say that. One thing, if you want to have a good marriage, learn the ability to encourage.
Yes, absolutely. Very important.
If you're not married, the people around you, learn to be an encourager, would you? You want to do the will of God in your life? Be an encourager. Encourage those people around you. People at work. Your children. You know, some people are raised where they were motivated by browbeating. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not a way to encourage. Let's, by the Spirit of God, Lord, thank you right now. Father, thank you right now for speaking to hearts. I'm talking about myself. Allow us, by revelation of you, Lord, your love, learn to encourage one another. Your children, sometimes they'll, especially if they're grown or doesn't matter what age, it's easy to start nitpicking at the faults, isn't it? Lord, help us to learn to encourage our children, our grandchildren. Lord, help us to build them up, to lift them up, that we'll speak into their lives that they can accomplish anything in Jesus Christ. Lord, let's put a coat of a purpose on them. Let's put a coat of purpose on those around us. Let's put a sword, the Word of God being the sword, and saying the Word of God says you can do all things through Him. His Word says that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of us need to call family members home. Say in the Spirit, say, Father, thank you for bringing them home from the north, from the south. As we stand up, if you'll stand up with me, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. We call forth those that belong to us in Jesus' name. The Word of God says that me and my household shall be saved. So we declare that promise, Father God, of the Word of God into the Spirit right now. Father God, maybe it's time to start, maybe marriages to start encouraging one another. Or your friends, if you're not married, to start looking for people to encourage. Lord, start to speak to my heart even on that Saturday. Say, man, encouragement is what the church needs in the direction the church is going. We can get off track. We can do all kinds of different things. But that mainstay in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, in this time, in this age, is going to be a spirit of encouragement. Lord, we thank you for Barnabas, there's a heart of Barnabas in the house. Great encouragers. Lifting people up, excited about people's success, and encouraging those that are downcast. Can we lift our hands together before we leave? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit doing the work that only the Spirit of God can do. Amen. I invite you to say, Lord, I receive from you everything you have for me in this morning's message. I receive from you, Father God, and I thank you for planting that in my heart by the Spirit of God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me an encourager and able to receive encouragement. We thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.